Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
From heaven, there is goodwill toward men. There is grace. There is mercy. There is forgiveness. There is love. That's the message of Christmas. There's no God like the God of the Bible. There's no message like the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no religion on the planet that even remotely comes close to this message.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues our Christmas series. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, in a message titled, What Christmas is All About. Now here's Pastor Brian.
And so all throughout the biblical history, the Old Testament, there was this expectation of this anointed one that would come, this Messiah. And there were various places in the history of the people of Israel where God would speak through the prophets and he would give the promises of the Messiah's coming. One of the ones that's most familiar to many of us is the one that's found in the ninth chapter and the sixth verse of the prophecy of Isaiah. And you remember that one there. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. You see, that's the messianic part of it. The government shall be upon his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So the Messiah, the Christ, he's going to come and he's going to rule the nations in righteousness. Oh, we long for that. Generation after generation has longed for some righteous reign. You know, it seems like as misguided as most politicians have been historically, they all seem to be aiming at the same thing, but everybody just has a different philosophy about how you're going to get there. But it's an ideal world, a perfect world, a world of peace, and a world where there's equity and there's righteousness. And of course, the problem is man's understanding of those things is completely faulted, so it never works out. But this is the task of the Messiah. This is what he's going to do. The government will be upon his shoulders. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So the angel is telling these shepherds that this is what's happened today. There has been born to you this day in the city of David, the Savior, who is the Christ, the Messiah, has come. And then he said, the Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Lord. The Greek word here for Lord is the word that in the Old Testament was used to translate the name of God. In the Old Testament, the name of God is probably most accurately Yahweh. So in many places in the Old Testament, of course, the name Yahweh appears. Now, when the Old Testament, which was written in Hebrew, was translated into Greek, when they came to the name Yahweh, they would translate Yahweh with the Greek word kurios, which is the word here. For there is born to you this day a Savior who is Christ, the Lord, or the Kurios. So for those shepherds and everybody at that time, when they heard that the Savior was Christ, the Lord, what they would understand is that the Savior, the Messiah, is Yahweh. He is God, the God of Israel, the God of all nations, the God of the universe. And so that was indeed the case. Jesus, his name means Yahweh is Savior. That's the meaning of the name Jesus. That's why the angels, we're told the angels spoke very specifically to Joseph that the child's name was to be Jesus. Or Yeshua, the Hebrew pronunciation, because he is going to save his people from their sin. And so this is the message. These are, the good tidings of great joy. We have a Savior. He's the Messiah. He's actually the Lord. But notice what the angel said. He said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. See, the message of Christmas is a universal message. It's for all people. It's not just for a select group of people somewhere. It's not just for a particular ethnic group, or it's not just for people located in a certain geographical region of the world. You know, we live in a climate today where people think of Christmas and Christianity and all that. Well, you know, they sort of say, well, you know, that's all Western. You know, that's sort of a Western religion. And then you've got your Eastern religions, and they don't seem to realize that Christianity did not originate in the West. But be that as it may, it is a universal message. It's, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. For the message is for everyone. It's a universal message. Now, think with me for a moment, though. Let's go back to the scene itself. You have an angel who is bringing this message, and you have, in some ways, a very unexpected audience, or an audience that you wouldn't have anticipated. So thinking, if you know, if we could just put ourselves in a place where you think, okay, so this is the greatest news ever. It's going to come as a pronouncement into the world. Okay, we're going to send the angel. He's going to proclaim the good tidings of great joy, tell about the birth of the Messiah, who is the Savior and the Lord. Okay, where do we send him? Well, think of where he wasn't sent. He wasn't sent to the capital cities of the world. He wasn't sent to the palaces. He wasn't sent to the universities. He wasn't sent to the power centers of the world. No, he was sent to a field outside of a small village, the village of Bethlehem. And then think of, if we were doing all of this, think of who we would have sent the messenger to and who the messenger did not come to. The angel didn't visit the rulers of the world. He didn't visit Caesar. He didn't visit any of those governors that ruled under Caesar. He didn't even visit Jerusalem and the leadership in Jerusalem. He didn't visit the rulers. He didn't visit the dignitaries of the world. He didn't visit the scholars. He didn't visit the celebrities. That's not who the angel was sent to. Now, that's not because God doesn't have love and concern for those people. He does. He certainly does. He loves everyone. But God has made it clear all the way through, from one end of Scripture to the other, that he is the God who is for the underdog. That's just who he is. He's the God who looks out for those that are generally overlooked. And so we see that in the place the angel went. The angel went to a village, not a metropolis. The angel went to shepherds, not to rulers. And the shepherds were just an example of the common people. The shepherds were the most common of people. And that's who the angel was sent to. And the angel said to them, he said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The angel said to them, these shepherds, these lowly, common, ordinary, everyday people, he said, the Savior is born to you. You see, that's the message of the gospel. Like I said earlier, it's a universal message to all people. But all people without prejudice, all people without preference. The Bible makes this perfectly clear. God is no respecter of persons, meaning God shows personal favoritism to no one. We live in a world where there's tons of favoritism shown to all kinds of people. And oftentimes it's based on your position in society. It's based on your wealth or lack thereof. In many cases, it's based upon things like race, skin color, and those kinds of things. There's all kinds of injustices and unfairness and preferential treatment of certain people. But not so the case with God. So God finds just this group of regular folks, the shepherds, and he sends the angel, go tell them. That's astounding if you think of it. You think of all the great people throughout history that God could have at any given point got this message to, but he doesn't. And even in the day that it comes, all of the great men are passed over. And it's these shepherds that the message comes to. Because God wants us to know that the message is for everyone without exception and without any prejudice. And sure, the greatest person in the world couldn't come, but no more than can the lowliest person in the world. Now, as the angel made this pronouncement and then directed them as to the location of where they could find the child, the babe, it says, and suddenly, in verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So now there's this angelic pronouncement, not just the angel singular, but now there's a multitude of heavenly hosts, and they're praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's the gospel right there. That's the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is glory to God in the highest. God, of course, is the one who came up with the plan. God's the one who initiated the whole thing. It's all because of his mercy and grace. So glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. The message of Christmas is that God's will for man is good. God's desire for man is good. God's intentions for man are good. You know, some of the newer translations read a little bit differently. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace toward men of goodwill. Some of the newer translations read it that way. And there is a little bit of, there's different manuscripts that kind of word it a little bit differently. But I personally think those newer translations missed it on that, because if you switch it around and say that peace on earth is toward men of goodwill, then you just gutted the message of the gospel. Because the gospel is not a message toward men of goodwill. The gospel is a message for sinners. The gospel isn't a message like, hey, there's peace on earth for you good people. That's kind of what the other translation makes it say. But that's not the message of the gospel. The gospel is there's peace on earth because God's will toward man is good. Because God is not imputing our trespasses to us. Because God is not going to deal with us according to our sins. He's sending us a Savior who's going to take care of that. And so from heaven, there is goodwill toward men. There is grace. There is mercy. There is forgiveness. There is love. That's the message of Christmas. There's no God like the God of the Bible. There's no message like the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no religion on the planet that even remotely comes close to this message. And there certainly is no humanistic philosophy that could even remotely parallel it either. This is the greatest news there is. It is such wonderful news Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It's such wonderful news. Here's the question I have. I know it's wonderful news. You know it's wonderful news. All of us who have received it know how wonderful this news is. But why isn't everyone thrilled about this? Why is it that there have always been people who, upon hearing this message of the birth of the Savior, why is it that there have always been people that have been upset by it and troubled by it? You know, these shepherds, they were elated. This was amazing. This was wonderful. And they did just what the angel said. They went and saw the child. Then they told everybody what the angel had communicated to them. And everyone marveled as they told the message. But you know, when that message came to King Herod, he didn't marvel in a positive sense. He wasn't excited like the shepherds were. No, he was troubled. He was bothered. He was upset by this message. And he is one, maybe the first, maybe not, but he is just one of many successive people on throughout history who aren't all that happy about this message. But why is that? Why is that the case? Why is it that people find this message so troubling, some people? It's crazy. But I'll tell you why. Because there are two things particularly that are stated here in the proclamation that create a problem for people. Number one is there's a Savior, and number two is he's the Lord. You see, this is, for many people, this is the greatest news ever. You know, if you're broken and contrite and you recognize your sin, man, you are so glad that there is a Savior. If you look and you see the destruction in your life and you think somebody's going to come and fix this, this is the greatest news ever. But if, on the other hand, you think, what do you mean a Savior? I don't need a Savior. I'm doing pretty good. I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. Well, these things that I'm doing, these aren't... Who says that they're wrong or bad? I don't think they're wrong or bad. So you see, for that person, the idea of a Savior is troubling. Because the idea of a Savior indicates you got a problem, and a lot of people don't want to admit they got a problem. And then the other issue is the whole issue of Lord. Because although this is a reference to the name of God, Yahweh, the Lord... Yahweh is the Lord in the sense that he is the sovereign ruler. And what that does for people, like it did for Herod, it was threatening to his position. He was not excited to hear that there was one born, the King of the Jews. That was a threat to him. He saw that as the potential end for his reign. And the same is true today with people. They see that as when you hear about the Savior and you hear about the Lord, what you're really talking about is somebody who's going to bring your reign to an end. Somebody who's going to throw you off the throne and take charge. And people don't like to hear that. But, you know, it's inevitable. It will not be stopped. It cannot be stopped. Doesn't matter who tries to stop it and all those that have tried to stop it from the very beginning, because you remember what Herod tried to do, right? You remember when he heard about this child that was born from these men that came from the east, these wise men, he said, okay, great, that's wonderful. I want to worship him too. So after you find out where he is, come back and tell me so I can go worship him. They didn't come back. An angel warned him in a dream not to go back. But then what did Herod do? He sought to destroy the child Jesus. So he sent out his men and slaughtered every male child under 2 years of age in the village of Bethlehem and around the area. What was he trying to do? He was trying to hold on to his power. He's trying to hold on to his position. He's trying to destroy anything that's going to infringe upon his power. But guess what? Herod is dead and has been for a long time, and Jesus is marching on. And that's the way it always works. And, you know, that's the way it works today too, because Herod was just the first of many who have attempted such a thing, and there are still those attempting it today. And like I said, we just have seen it. We see it around our nation with all the battles taking place over nativity scenes and the ACLU, you know, rushing to the assistance of that one person that might be offended by seeing that dreadful scene there, you know, those animals and that little manger and all of that. So offensive. But hey, Christ is marching on. The babe who was born in a manger has ascended the throne of heaven. And one day, he's going to come back. And all of these things that were initiated there on that first Christmas day are going to come to fruition. Because that was the beginning of the reign of Christ that will finally manifest itself universally in the days ahead. And then we will properly sing, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." Joy to the World, what a great Christmas song, isn't it? But you know, if you think about it, it's not really, if you listen to the words, it's not really talking about the birth of Jesus, it's really talking about the reign of Jesus. But you couldn't have the reign of Jesus without the birth, so it works perfectly. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing. That's the way it's going to be in the future. But it can be that way personally in the present as we await that day, because this good news is universal and has universal application, but it's also very personal. At Christmas time, it's a time of exchanging gifts, right? And that's because God gave the gift of his son. You know, the Bible speaks of salvation very frequently as the gift of God. And that gift is wrapped up in a person. And that person is Jesus, who was born on this day. And I know that most of you here today know that, you've experienced that. For unto you is born this day. That's become a reality to you. But you know, maybe you're here today and that hasn't become a reality to you. Maybe you've celebrated Christmas after Christmas after Christmas, but never really stopped to think, what is this all about truly? Well, that gift from God is there, it's available, it's extended, but you know, like any other gift, it's got to be received. And if you don't receive it, it's still there, it's available, but you're not blessed by it. And so our prayer is that if that is the case, that you would receive that gift, God's gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The one who was born, the Savior who is Christ the Lord, who came into the world to come into our hearts, who's coming back into the world to set up an everlasting kingdom of righteousness, because he is the Messiah, the anointed one, and upon his shoulders the government will be, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. That's the big picture for the world. But it happens in a human heart individually upon receiving that gift.
For the month of December, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled When God Became One of Us. It's a 40-day devotional through the Gospel of John by Pastor Brian. This book, When God Became One of Us by Pastor Brian Broderson, is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443. And don't forget to visit backtobasicsradio.com, where you can find more resources or sign up for Pastor Brian's free daily email devotional. Our website again is backtobasicsradio.com. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we resume our study in the book of Galatians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.